All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to speak to you this morning on a story that happened in the life of Elisha, the prophet. You remember that Elijah was the prophet, and God took him to heaven in a whirlwind of fire down across the Jordan River, and Elisha was there, and he asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And as you read the story of Elisha, you find out that he got that double portion and was able to perform exactly double the number of miracles that Elijah performed. And this is a story that is about one of those miracles that God used him to do to help the children of Israel. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 8 to make sure you get the gist of the story. The text verse that I have chosen and the subject out of which I will preach this morning is in the 17th verse. So pay real close attention when we get there. But let's begin in verse 8, 2 Kings 6, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" All right, now let me translate that for you. Let me interpret that for you, tell you what's going on. The Syrians were to Israel's north, and they were slowly but surely trying to take over Israel. They did not launch a full-scale attack, but they did all these little missions and were trying to just chip away at Israel's defenses. And so in verse 8, the king of Syria brought his counselors in, his generals in, and he basically told his generals, "Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to surprise the Israelis. I'm going to surprise them." All right, now look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "And the man of God," that's Elisha, "the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.'" So God was telling Elisha the king of Syria's plans. Whenever he told his commanders, "We're going to go hide behind this hillside and we're going to attack when they come through," God would tell Elisha, and Elisha would tell the king of Israel, and so they were ready, they were prepared, and the Syrians couldn't do any damage. All right? So look, please, at verse 10. It says, "The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once or twice." In other words, this was regularly happening. This was a common occurrence. The prophet told Israel's king, "Don't go there. Don't go there. They're waiting on you there." And so it didn't happen once, didn't even happen twice. Happened a lot. That's the point. Verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?'" So he called his commanders in, and he said, "Look, guys, we got a traitor in our group. We've got somebody in our midst who is relaying information to the Israelis. And we've got to find out who is working for the Israelis. And verse 12 says, "And one of his servants said, 'Oh no, none, my lord, O king.'" But the problem here is Elisha. He said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." That's pretty good, isn't it? There's a joke in there somewhere. I'm sure there is. But he said, the problem is that the prophet of Israel, Elisha, he's the one that tells the king of Israel everything we're doing. He knows even what you have said in the quietness of your own bedroom. Verse 13, "And he said," the king of Syria said, "go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." All right, so they're in southern Israel. That's a good southern word, isn't it? Fetch. Fetch him. "And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host," a big army. "And they came by night and compassed," surrounded the city about. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early," so now it's morning, and Elisha's servant wakes up, and he goes out. It says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him," so the servant comes running back to Elisha, and he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" In other words, the servant comes running back in and says, "Master, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this? The Syrian army has encompassed the city." Now look at verse 16. "And Elisha, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Elisha prayed for the Lord to open the servant's eyes so that he could see. "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." Now go back to verse 17. And here is the title of my sermon this morning. I want to speak to you from this little prayer that Elisha prayed on behalf of his servant. And he prayed, open his eyes that he may see. And I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, Seeing the Unseen. Seeing the Unseen. When the Lord opened that man's eyes. Now physically, his eyes were open. And physically, he saw the Syrians surrounding the city of Dothan. But when Elisha prayed and the Lord opened his spiritual eyes, he saw the angels around, and then understood why Elisha was not concerned that thousands of Syrians were outside the city. For what he saw, he knew the angels of the Lord were no match for the Syrians outside. God was going to protect them, and God was going to deliver them. So I want to speak to you this morning on seeing the unseen. Let's pray together and in a message. Our Father, how we thank you for your word. And I pray your blessings upon it now. Give us ears to hear. Help us to take this story and be able to apply it to what we are facing in our lives. Help us to see that we serve a God who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And no matter how big the Syrian army is around us, no matter how devastating our circumstances may be, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So give us faith and give us hope this morning. Encourage our hearts to trust in the living God. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In this chapter, the king of Syria has been waging for some time now a very unsuccessful war against Israel. He has been unsuccessful because every time he set out to attack a city, his plans seemed to already be known by Israel's king, and that city was prepared and it was well defended. So the king of Syria came to the conclusion that there just had to be a traitor in his own troops. He called his officers in to discuss the matter to see if they knew of anyone who might be a spy for the king of Israel. But he was informed that there was no traitor in their ranks. The problem was Israel's prophet, Elisha. Some way and somehow, Elisha just seemed to know everything that the Syrians were planning to do. They told the king that Elisha even knows the secret thoughts of the king when he was in his own bedchamber, when nobody else was around. And when the king heard this, he just went wild with anger. He was livid, and he vowed to capture Elisha and put an end to this foolishness right then and there. He got his entire army and deployed them to accomplish one task. And that one task was to get Elisha. He found out that Elisha had stopped over in the city of Dothan. Dothan was a city located on the top of a hill. And it was a fortified city, well defensed. And this city sat in the middle of a wide plain. And so he ordered that his men were to completely surround and cut off the city of Dothan. While the people of Dothan slept, the Syrian army came in and surrounded it on all sides. And humanly speaking, there was no way anyone would be able to escape. Now, the next morning, after they were already set up, when the sun came up, the people of Dothan were petrified when they looked out and saw an eternal sea of armed Syrian soldiers, each one with blood in his eyes. Everywhere you looked, there were Syrians, all armed and ready for action. The servant of the prophet came running back when he saw the situation, and he said to a calm and relaxed man of God, Elisha, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Humanly speaking, there was absolutely nothing that anybody would be able to do to get them out of this mess. And the servant of the prophet was scared out of his wits. The prophet Elisha simply got on his knees and he began to pray. And I want you to think about this servant standing there, scared, witless, telling the prophet the danger. And then I want you to imagine this prophet's face as he listens to Elisha pray. Because I don't think that this servant heard what he was expecting the prophet to pray. I don't think he was expecting it at all. Elisha got on his knees and he did not pray, "Lord, help us." He got on his knees and he did not pray, "Lord, deliver us from this Syrian onslaught." No, that never came out of the prophet's mouth. What he did pray was this. He prayed, "Lord, open the eyes of this servant that he may see." This young man needed a touch from heaven upon his darkened spiritual eyelids. He needed the anointing of heavenly eye salve to allow him to be able to see what Elisha could clearly see. And so the Lord opened his eyes. And when he had his eyes open, he looked up and he saw a band of angels in flaming chariots all perched above the mountain round about Dothan. Elisha asked for the servant to be able to see the unseen. I have said so many times that if there was some way that I could peel the covering off of your eyes and mine so that you and I could just see the war that is going on now in the heavenlies right now while we're having church, it would drive every one of us to hit this altar and get our hearts right with the Lord. Just seeing the unseen. When this young man's eyes were open, he could see clearly what was going on. Now, I want us to think about this servant of Elisha this morning, and I want to make some application from his story to our lives today. There are three things I want you to see, three little things that I point out. Number one, first, I want us to notice what this young man's real problem was. What was his problem? I want us to think about why Elisha prayed for his eyes to be opened. You see, it was not that physically the boy was blind. No, physically his eyes were in good shape. He was fully able with his physical eyes to see the Syrian army that had gathered outside the walls of the city of Dothan. He could physically see clearly enough. I have no doubt that his physical eyes were probably in better shape than the eyes of Elisha, the older man, the old prophet. As a matter of fact, this servant could see so well that what he saw caused great fear to overwhelm his heart. He could see so well that when he saw how many Syrian soldiers were outside the city, and when he saw their positions and how well armed they were, he just stood utterly hopeless that there was any prospect of getting out of the situation alive. You say, "Well, Pastor, what was his problem then?" Here was his problem, folks. Think, all right? Think. His problem was that he could only see the seen. That was his problem. He could only see the seen. He had no problem with the seen world, but his problem was that the seen world was the only one he could see. And the person who can see the seen world and only the seen world is a person who is missing out in a great way. We always need to realize that what we see is only a fraction of what really exists. Folks, there's a spiritual battle going on all over, all above our head. As Paul phrased it in Ephesians, in the heavenlies. A constant warfare. Constant. We always need to realize that what we see is only a fraction of what is really going on. And the young man's problem was he could not see what Elisha could see. And Elisha could see things as they really were. The servant is so full of panic, but the old prophet is sitting there as calm as he could be. But if he had seen what Elisha saw, he would have been as calm as Elisha was. But you see, he could not see that unseen world. And that's why that prayer was offered. You know, when you think about it, we see this principle is true in our world around us. Just think of this. Men watched the lightning strike from the clouds for thousands of years. But there was a man one day with an eye for the unseen in nature. His name was Edison. Edison. Thomas Alva Edison. And he threw the lasso of his vision over this untamed beast and made it do what he wanted it to do. And today, all of us sit here in this air-conditioned auditorium with its bright lights, and we enjoy what Edison was able to see that the rest of us could not. The airwaves. You know, the airwaves have been with us for as long as we've been on the planet. But it took a man with the ability to see the unseen by the name of Marconi. And today, we can broadcast messages. Today, there are hundreds of people, while you are sitting here in church this morning, there are hundreds of people who are watching us around the world via the internet, and all the result of a man named Marconi who one day realized that there were waves out there that could transmit our voices and our image. Absolutely amazing, is it not? And today we have cell phones and everybody has one. Some of you have two. Today we have iPads and computers and we broadcast messages and we text and we tweet and we bookface and we Instagram. You name it, it's at our disposal. It's all at our disposal. Now, realize those waves were always there. Those waves were there in Abraham's day, but they were unseen. And the person who sees only the seen will never discover what is the highest and what is the best in the individual. If we only see that which is seen, we are going to miss all that is in the realm of the spiritual. Let me say it this way. If you live your life only looking at the seen world, you're going to miss God and what God can do for you. So that's what his real problem was. I wonder how many of us have that problem. We're only focused on the nasty now and now. And we don't realize the sweet by and by. We're only focused on my problems, my world, my this, me that. Somebody said that we are the me generation living today. And we fail to realize that there is a God. And that God wants a relationship. And that God wants to fellowship. And He wants to be your God. Second thing I want you to notice, let's just continue on with it. Secondly, I want you to notice how this servant got his eyes opened. Notice how he got his eyes opened. How did it happen that he was suddenly able to see the unseen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. He got his eyes opened as an answer to prayer. You see, folks, prayer makes a difference in our lives. James said, you have not because you ask not. Prayer brings results. It gets things done for us. Folks who deny God, those are folks that don't pray. But if you know God, if you know the God of heaven, prayer is at your disposal. And oh, how we ought to pray. The greatest achievement in prayer is that it helps us discover God. It helps us see the unseen. It makes Christ real to us. It makes the gospel real to us. It opens the Bible to our understanding. We are able through prayer to find peace that passeth understanding, strength in time of weakness, hope in time of despair, and faith when it seems that there is no way out. In other words, prayer will help you see the unseen. The prophet said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when his eyes were open, he was able to see that God was there, that God was protecting and providing and preserving his people and his prophet. But then also I want you to notice here, this blessing was given to one that was obedient. Obedient. You know, Edison learned electricity. He learned electricity not by rebelling against it and its properties, but by becoming obedient to its properties. I wonder how many times Edison got zapped. Huh? I wonder how many times he got that finger over in that current. And you know, we discover God and all the unseen spiritual realities by obedience. Paul said it this way. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. But wait a minute. If you're not the natural man, but the born again man, the reborn man, if you are the man that has been rebirthed, if you will, and you have a spiritual part of you, that man can know the God of heaven. The Lord must be obeyed in order to be discovered. Must be. Let me tell you something, folks. God is not going to be discovered in a laboratory somewhere. He is not going to be found in a monastery somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. The Lord is not going to be found by a bunch of young people sitting around in a dark room with a Ouija board. God is going to be found on the path of obedience. Jesus said it this way, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall find God. Let me tell you something. Listen, think of this. What we are determines what we see. Man, that's why you need to be in this book. That's why you need to be a good Christian. That's why you need to be growing. That's why you need to be learning the Bible. That's why you need to be in church. So you can learn the Word of God. Let me illustrate this. What we are determines what we see. Let me illustrate this. I want you to imagine, all right, imagine a beautiful field. Let's think about this field out back. You know which one I'm talking about? The one, you know, you go up the road and there's how Pastor Ray and Lisa live up in that brick house up at the top of the hill. You know what I'm talking about? Out back here. The towers up there, the water tower and the radio tower. All right? That as you go on over the hill there on Center Street, those fields. Let's imagine there's not hay out there. Let's imagine there's flowers out there. Just beautiful flowers. And you're driving up that road and you see just flowers all over those fields out there. And you pull up and you get out of your car and you walk and you go, wow, look at the beauty that is in that field. And all of a sudden the wind gently begins to blow and the fragrance of those flowers comes and that aroma hits your nostrils and you take a deep breath and sneeze 4,000 times. But you take a deep breath and you go, oh, wow, look, smell that. How wonderful that is. And you just stand there looking at the beauty of that field. But while you're standing there looking at the beauty of that field, all of a sudden you see a shadow and you look up and there's a buzzard flying around. Now, I submit to you folks, that buzzard could care less about the beauty of that field. That buzzard could care less about the scent of those flowers. Doesn't matter a bit to that buzzard. And you're standing there looking at the beauty of the field. You're standing there smelling the beauty of those flowers and that aroma. And you look up and that buzzard's up there flying around going, there's an old dead rat over here somewhere. I smell it. Ooh, it smells so good. And he's flying around trying to find the dead rat. Why? I'll tell you why. Because that's what he is. He's a buzzard. He's a buzzard. He's doing what buzzards are supposed to do. And you know what you and I ought to be doing is getting in this book and walking with God and seeing the unseen and realizing that there's a God that loves us and a God that expects us to be obedient to Him. And when we are obedient to Him, His blessings and His protection and His goodness and His mercy is poured out of heaven upon us. Our nature, just like a buzzard has a nature, man has a nature. And due to sin, our nature is to draw us to the baser, to the lower things. But I'm saying that we need to pray and we need to walk with God and we need to be obedient to His word. And that enables us to see beyond the nasty now and now into a plane of higher spiritual realities. Now, if what we are determines what we see, it is also true that what we see determines what we become. I'm going to shock you here, folks, but let me tell you something. You are right now what you have been becoming. You go, well, wait a minute here, wait a minute. Fuses burning, wires crossing here. Wait a minute. Let me think on that. Yeah, you are what you have been becoming. That's so true. The two act and react upon each other. So if we are determined to seek the Lord and obey His commands, we will then become like Him. And this increases our ability to see the unseen. I'd like to just stay right there and preach for an hour, but I got to move on. Number three, I want you to notice what happened when his eyes were opened. Notice what happened. When his eyes were open, in a nutshell, he saw the unseen. The unseen was already there. Elisha saw it. But it was not until the servant's eyes were opened that he saw it himself. And when his eyes were open, he became conscious of the reality of it. He became aware of it. Listen, if you believe the Bible, then you believe in the unseen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you already believe in the unseen. But what is needed in our lives is not to simply believe this as a theory. It needs to be real in our lives. It needs to be true faith that guides our thoughts and guides our steps. We think that life is just all about work and money and things and food and iPhones and iPads and cars and boats and ball games and status, but we so miss the point of life when we reduce it to just existence from day to day. The first gift of opened eyes was he realized God was there. He saw what Elisha saw, and he realized God was there. He realized what Elisha realized, that he and Elisha were not alone. And folks, we need to realize that we're not alone either. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord this morning? If the answer to these questions is yes, Pastor, I'm saved, then why in the world are you not looking for the unseen? Make time daily to get alone with God in his word. Make time daily to pray and to get a hold of the horns of the altar and hang on until God blesses. And allow God to open your eyes so that you can see that you're not facing this old big ugly world all by yourself. You're not alone, Christian. And I pray that God will open our eyes so we can see that. Let God allow you to see the unseen so that you will fully understand what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You'll never walk alone if you're seeing the unseen. Never. Never. But secondly, he not only realized when his eyes were open that he could see God, but he realized, secondly, just how close the Lord was to him. Just how close the Lord was to him. Oh, he knew the enemy was close. He had seen that with his literal physical eyes. But once his eyes were open, he realized just how close God was. That's a good point. That's something we need to consider. He realized just how close God was. He saw that God was closer. And listen, not only that, he saw that God was mightier than the army that was outside waiting at the gate. They only had swords. God's army had flaming swords. You with me? God had one-upped the Syrians. And that is always a truth that we need to see and recognize. Do you remember in Luke 24, I've preached so much from Luke 24 through the years, but Cleopas and his wife, I think it was his wife, they're coming, leaving Jerusalem on their way to Emmaus where they lived after a funeral. That's real important that you catch that. After a funeral. You remember whose funeral it was? It was the Lord's funeral. Yeah, they buried him. And now, after he died on the cross, and now Cleopas and his wife are walking home. And as they're walking home, the Bible said that a third person joined up. Now, we later find out in the story that that third person that showed up was the Lord Jesus. And he talked with them in the way. And the Bible says that as he talked with them in the way, here's what it says. Now listen to this. It says, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And I have to wonder how many of us realize that after a funeral, while we are sitting with broken hearts, that Christ is there. Just waiting to be recognized. Just waiting to be seen. Just waiting to be leaned upon for comfort and encouragement. Hey, folks, the point is, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Lord is always close at hand. He is the Lord who stands between you and the enemy. And the tragedy of our blindness is that it keeps us from recognizing the nearness of Christ. What enemy is standing around you today? What enemy do you dread having to face this week? Is it health? Is it financial? Is it loneliness? Is it a broken heart? Is it some besetting sin that has you conquered and defeat you time and time again? Every fear will vanquish everyone, once through open eyes, we realize the Lord is by our side. I think the psalmist sums it up best when he said, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why, David? Well, for thou art with me. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, yes, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, may all of us who know the Lord humble ourselves before the Lord this morning and beg and plead before God and say, "Lord, would you open my eyes? Lord, would you just open my eyes so that I might see?" And I guarantee you, you pray that prayer, the Lord will help you to be able to see the unseen.